Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey church, well welcome to Enjoy Church Online. It's so good to have you here this morning. I believe that God is really going to speak to you today as we lean in. So why don't we pray? Father, I thank you for this great day, Lord, for the opportunity to lean in to hear your voice, Lord, in your heart for us, Lord God. So right now, Lord, we set our hearts and our focus, Lord God, upon you and say, speak to us, dear Holy Spirit. Deal with us, do whatever you need to do. Lord, we are yours completely for this time. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And I pray bless every person as they're watching now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to have you here. As I said, today I really just want to bring a thought to you that I believe God has spoken to me when I was actually out walking this week with my dog. Don't you love the opportunity to get out into the sunshine and to go out for a stroll when you get the chance? These days we can get out and do that. And I was out walking through the week with my dog, and I was walking down one of the lakes near where we live, Spring Lake near in Caroline Springs. And so I was out there, and I've walked there so many, many times before, but as I was walking along, I just encountered or suddenly noticed a bunch of bulrushes. Like, what catches your eye about a bunch of bulrushes, I don't know. But I'm walking along and I just suddenly, they grab my attention. In fact, so much so that I took this picture. This is the backdrop that's behind us. And this bunch of bulrushes, and I just really felt like God draw my attention to them. And so as I did that, what I found is that God spoke to me. And he just whispered this one line into my heart, and that is this: beyond the bulrushes. Beyond the bulrushes. You know, that's going to be the title of my message today, but needless to say, it did prompt me to look and lift my eyes. I'd been looking at the bulrushes, but now I lifted my eyes and I thought, okay, God, what is it you want to say to me? Because you're telling me to look beyond the bulrushes. And so I lifted my eyes to hear from God. And so as I did, what I found was this, as you can see behind me, a picture, there is a lake that's behind the bulrushes. I saw a lake. I saw it was beautiful. I saw this fountain shooting water up into the sky. It was a lovely scene. And then beyond that, I saw on the other side of the lake, I saw a construction site, a building being built. And I looked at that. I thought, okay, now I remember hearing about this building that was going to be built here. It's going to house cafes and a supermarket and some shops, and I think even some apartments for people to live in. And as I stood and I looked at this new site, I couldn't help but remember what had been there before. You know, before there, there was a cafe and a community center. And then before that, there was a gym, which I'm sure I went to a couple of classes there with my sister-in-law when she lived on this side of town. And there was all these things that had been there before, but over time had eventually fallen away. They probably all started well. They'd probably all started off really well, full of hope and full of future. But by the time I moved into the area, it ended up being just a dilapidated building. And by the time I got there, it was just empty. And now, just a perch for birds and for some of the local wildlife, they had their home in there. So the structure was there, but there was no sound. There had been no sound in that building for a long time. No vibrancy of life as it was supposed to be. And it sat like that for a very long time. And then one day, obviously somebody came along. A developer came along. He's someone who came along with vision and with dreams and obviously with the means to be able to make something of this place. They looked at it with fresh eyes, and they looked at it and they saw the value, and they looked and they saw the potential, and they said, you know what, this is too good a spot to allow to waste away. This was too good a place to waste away any longer. And they looked at it and they said, I'm going to make sure I fulfill its potential. And I feel like at the moment, the world is at a bit of a bulrushes moment. They're at this place where there's a lot of things in front of them. You know, bulrushes, they were beautiful, but they go up pretty high and they can block your view if you're not looking, not thinking about it. They can take all your attention. And I feel like right now, that's kind of what's happening. There's a lot of things clamoring for our attention. And so they take your attention, and after a while, it's all that you can see. They act like a screen that causes you to miss the fact that there may be something beyond the bulrushes, that there may be something happening beyond them. And I believe that God is calling us, you and I, he's calling us to look beyond the bulrushes, to see what's happening beyond the bulrushes, to see that there is something happening beyond the bulrushes. Because whether we see it or not, God is still on the move. Whether we see it or not, God is working beyond where we are and what we can see. You know, who knows that song, Waymaker? It's so popular at the moment. There's that song, Waymaker, and it says, even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. You know what? That's the truth. Our God has never stopped working on our behalf. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that God worked for 6 days and then he rested on the Sabbath. You know, God didn't rest because he was tired. He didn't rest because he ran out of vision or energy. He rested because he was aware that he was making a pattern and setting a pace for us as humanity, that it's because it's good for us to work, but we also need to rest. So he was setting a pattern for us. But in Psalm 121 verse 1, it also says, it says that God never slumbers nor sleeps. You know what a reassuring thought that is? That whether we're awake or asleep, God is never asleep. Whether we're aware of what's going on or not, God is never asleep. He is always at work. He is always creating. He is always planning. He is always working. He is always doing. And in times like this, these are the things that we need to remember, that God is still doing that. Because there are so many things being thrown to catch our attention, to take our attention, and they're all important things. None of them have been small things. None of them are insignificant things, but there's so many things being thrown at our vision right now, at our view right now, that it's very easy to forget that there is a future we also need to focus on, that we end up focusing only here on the immediate, the here and now, which is why we need to remind ourselves. Which is why we need to take the time to remind ourselves that we have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. He is our advocate. He is our guide. There is a hope that we can have in our hearts with the truth that God has a future for us, that he hasn't finished working yet, that he's still working in you. If he's still working in you, I want to tell you he's still working on you. He's still working, on your behalf. He's still working for you to bring about the future. Revelations 1 verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. I love that thought. He says, firstly, I am here. I am present with you right where you're at with everything that you're going through. But he says, I'm also was there in your past and I am ahead of you in your future. I just love that thought that he's ahead in my future, already making the way, already preparing things for me, already making a pathway and making provision so that I've got all that I need as I step into it. So if you can take comfort in the fact that God is with you right now, then take comfort from the same verse that tells you he is there in your future. He is making the way. He is there on your behalf to help you with a way and a hope to be ahead of you. But back to the lake in Caroline Springs. You know, when we walk or drive past this construction site, there is a banner that's up around the construction site that they've put up on the fence. And I love this banner because what it does, it shows you a picture. It shows you a picture. That's the architect's sketch of what it's going to look like. Here he is. He's already planning it out. They already know what's going on. They know where they're going. Before they turned the first bit of soil, before they dug the first hole, they already knew where they were going, what it would look like and what it would do. They didn't even start until they already had it worked out. You know, here at Enjoy, you'll often hear us hear the phrase, you know, oh, we're building the aeroplane in the air. Or we don't always know what we're doing because it's the first time we've done it. We've never been this way before. Joshua chapter 3, it's like, I haven't been this way before. But you know what? God is not like that. It's okay sometimes for us to not know what's going on, but God is never like that. He always knows. He's the ultimate architect and he understands the end from the beginning. You know, the architects of this building are similar. They're working towards a goal. They're working towards a completed vision. They're going to make sure that they fulfill it. But to fulfill the vision, so often what you first have to do is completely knock down everything that was there first. You've got to knock it down completely because you can't build on a faulty foundation. That will only set the work that you build in peril. Instead, you need to clear the ground. And what they've done in this situation, for this building, what they did is they cleared all the ground. And they said, you know what? It's all got to go. There's a great structure there, but it's empty and it's fruitless and it's lifeless. But what we're going to do is bring something that brings life. And so they cleared it all out. You know, I think it's a little bit like the world at the moment. You know, everything seemed to be cruising along nicely. So we thought. Everything seemed to be running the way it should. Or so we thought. But in actual fact, it really wasn't like that at all. It really wasn't running well. It was limping along. It was limping along, broken and wounded and wounding people, patched with holes everywhere, until God finally said, enough is enough. I'm so grateful we have a God who watches and sees everything, that nothing goes without him understanding and without him knowing. He saw it. So, and he said, enough is enough. And so now we have experienced situations, traumatic as they have been, he's allowed the world to be raised to the ground. I mean, I think here in Australia, we've had droughts, we've had bushfires, we've had floods, we've had pandemics, we've had social upheaval. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And yet in the midst of this, some might quickly think, well, where is God in all of that? Why would he allow this to happen? How could he do this? There's been tragedy and terrible situations. Why would he allow it? Because this nation and every other nation that's impacted by sin and all its consequences, it's because they were too valuable to God for him to leave them as they were. Filled with structures that brought no fruit. Filled with structures that had allowed no life. And his heart grieved over what was happening. He saw it all. And he knew it all, and he knew what had to be done, and so he allowed life and nature to take its course. You know, when Christ was on the cross, there was a point where it made it very clear in the Word, and it says that God looked away. It looked away when Christ bore the full sin on his body, on himself, on his life. The world's sin was upon him, and it said that God looked away. It wasn't because he stopped loving his son, but it was actually because he understood that if he didn't allow the sin and the consequences to have their impact, there would be no redemption for you and I. There would be no redemption for the people of the world that he loved. And he just thought that couldn't be allowed to go on. And he loved us too much. We were too precious and too valuable to him to let that happen. And so the Father momentarily stepped back. And he allowed what had to happen to happen. And because of that, we can now be restored when we ask Jesus Christ to come in our hearts. We can now be restored to our Heavenly Father, to God, who loves us more than life itself. We can do that. And I feel that that is what's happening to our nation and to our world at the moment. Why? So our brokenness, we can own our brokenness. We can become aware of our brokenness and our ignorance and our need for God, and we can deal with it. You know, as long as you keep pretending like nothing's wrong, no, you're not going to deal with the things that are wrong. But it's only when you realize that there is something terribly wrong that we actually grab a hold of it and do something with it. And so God has allowed this to happen so that we can see what was wrong and deal with it and then move on. We need to let go of the old so that the new can come. Because the world and all its people, as I said, are too valuable to God, too precious for him to leave the way it was. You know, we need to move with God in this though. It's one thing to allow God to do what God does and then say that it's nothing to do with us. But God has always been in a partnership, and he's looking to us and saying, will you come with me? Will you work with me in this? Because this is something where we need to work with God. We need to lift our eyes and see beyond the bulrushes. But to do this, it's going to take faith. I know it. You know it. It's going to take faith. To be part of the future, we need to trust God, and we need to trust the people he puts around us. And we need to lift our eyes and look beyond the bulrushes. Look beyond the here and now, the things that are right in our face. Now, that doesn't mean we ignore it. That doesn't mean that we pretend like it's not there. That's not what this is about. God is saying we just need to deal with it so that we can get going in the journey forward. And there is a journey forward for us all. There is, because God has put a future and a plan and a hope in front of us that He wants us to participate in. You know, it reminds me a bit of the Bible. In the Bible, there's a story of a small family, Hebrew family, a Jewish family in Egypt. They were in the midst of oppression and hardship and persecution. They were in a difficult place. Their whole nation was. And this one family, they had a son. They already had a son and a daughter. But then right in the midst of the most difficult persecution, they had a baby boy who became known as Moses. And I want to read a bit from that. Exodus 2 verse 1 to 10. It says, at this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds, the bulrushes, along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. She was a clever girl. She knew. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called for the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," said the princess. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." You know, what an incredible story that is. What an amazing story of faith, and an example of faith was Moses' mother to us. I don't know, if you don't know the story, then in the chapter before it goes on to explain that the king, the Hebrew people were living in Egypt, and then he began to get nervous at how quickly they were multiplying. And he's like looking at this nation within his nation multiplying. And he decides they're getting a little bit too dangerous. And so he decides, for no reason or anything that they've ever done, he decides that they must be killed. So he sends all the midwives a command that says, kill every baby boy as they're being born. And then when that didn't work, he said, okay, here's another command, because that was the midwives for the Hebrews. There's another command. He spoke to the Egyptians and he said, if you see one of these baby boys, you must take them and drown them in the Nile River. And I just think it's absolutely crazy to think that his fear drove him to do this. But it was in the face of this oppression and this persecution that this woman lifted her eyes beyond the bulrushes, beyond the circumstances that she was in. And because she did, the very Nile River that the enemy had planned and via the command of Pharaoh to be Moses' death, it actually ended up becoming the place of his rescue and the place of his promotion. In fact, it set him up for his future. God is well able. I want to say to you, wherever you are at, whatever's happening in your world right now, God is well able to turn your circumstances around. No matter how dire they seem, He is well able to turn them around for your good. Because, you know, this whole thing, this whole story begins with one person's faith. In the midst of her oppression, in the midst of her difficult situation, she got creative. So instead of just throwing him in the river like she was commanded by Pharaoh, she made a waterproof capsule, a basket for him, and set him afloat on the water. She entrusted him to the only one who could keep him safe. She was entrusted him to the one who knew the end from the beginning. She entrusted him to God. You know, in verse 2 it says that she saw that he was a special baby. Tell me one mother that doesn't think their baby is special. But I still wonder, even with her mother's eyes, did she really see how special he was going to be? Did she have any idea how the purpose that God had for his life? I don't think she probably did. But one thing I do know is that as she laid him in that basket, as she set him adrift on that water, she was looking beyond the bulrushes. She was looking beyond the here and now into the future. In fact, even though she had no idea how this could possibly turn around, I mean, tell me if you think that any mother, as they set their child adrift in a basket on a river, not knowing where he's going to go, not with any food, not with any care or anyone to look after him, how can you expect that to turn around? But she knew her Heavenly Father. Even though she didn't understand what was going to happen, she knew her Heavenly Father, and so she entrusted not only her child but her heart to him, because she understood that he knew what was beyond this current season that she was in. He knew where she was and where her little baby boy was going to be headed. He knew that he had an incredible plan for her, that he was going to take him on this journey of life. In fact, not even just him, it was also going to be his sister Miriam and Moses' brother Aaron were also going to be looked after in the midst of this. See, what would have happened if she had just stayed focused on her circumstances? What if she had just looked at the immediate things and not looked beyond? Because one thing I know is that you don't see without looking. And so as she's here, I think to myself, she lifted her eyes. I know for certain she lifted her voice to God, and as a result, he showed her something beyond the bulrushes that led her to putting him in this basket and setting him adrift on the waters. And because she did, Moses lived. Because she did, he not only received his life, but thousands, millions of others received their life and their freedom because this one person lifted her eyes and to look beyond the bulrushes and look to God for the future. You know, he didn't just receive his life, but he began a journey that took him to the highest place of influence in the land. He grew up in the palace, the place of highest influence. He was no doubt trained in leadership, trained in knowledge, trained in statesmanship, all things that prepared him for his future. But the real impact of Moses' life didn't come because he was brought up in the palace. It came because he too looked beyond the bulrushes. You see, the bulrushes don't always come in the form of tragedy and difficulty and oppression and hardship. They can grow in our lives through ease and privilege also. But we can't let them fill our vision. We can't let our current circumstances, whether it be difficulty or ease and comfort, we can't let them fill our vision. You know, we always say here at Enjoy, my heart, my responsibility. Your heart, your responsibility. And we can look to others for hope and to give us direction, and we can look to them to be an answer and give us faith and all of that kind of thing. And Moses' mother did that for him for a while when he was young. But at some point, you and I, just as he did, have to look beyond the bulrushes ourselves. For some of us, those bulrushes might be insecurity. They might be fear. They might be emotional needs. They might be financial security, the desire for financial security, identity and self-worth. There could be unforgiveness that's blocking our views or just our current life circumstances. But whatever it is, if we do not lift our eyes to look beyond these things, we will never be able to press through them to see the thing that God is building for our future. You know, right here, right now, I want to encourage you to look up. I want to encourage you to look up. See, were you if we were to look up, this is what we might see. We might see this picture. I don't know if you've seen this. This is when I got really close to that building. This is what it looked like. Footpath is closed. Things are closed down. It's just being in the construction stage. You might look and go, I don't know if there's any future. There's nothing that I can see. I can't see the completed thing of what God is going to do in my future. I can't see where it's taking me. I don't know how this is going to turn around. You might look and just see a building under construction. But I've got to promise you, it sounds like this. It's got construction sounds. It's got sounds like this. Because God is on the move. God is on the move, not just in your present, but in your future. He is working in preparation for your arrival as you step into that time and that season that he has planned and prepared for you. He wants to help you to move forward and to journey with him. Will you lift your eyes to look beyond the bulrushes? Will you lift your eyes and say, God, let me see. Show me what you want me to see. See, if we start by looking, God will allow us to see what he has for us. I want to encourage you in your life, wherever you are right now, God has got a hope and a future for you in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're going, I don't have that relationship with God. I don't know. What do you mean by in Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, God sent Jesus to the cross to pay for you and I, to pay for our sins, to pay for our wrongdoings, our mistakes, and the things that haven't gone right in our life. He's done that, but not because he condemns us, but because he wants to set us free from those things. He wants to bring us back into relationship and put away everything that would separate us from him. And so he sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus went willingly and died on that cross for you and I so that we can be restored, have our relationship restored to our Father God. I want to tell you right now, if you're saying, I want that relationship with God, I want that hope and that future. Maybe you feel you just don't have that and you want that. Or maybe you've had it once and you know that you've drifted away. You've kind of drifted down that river a bit and God is calling you home. I want to say to you now that you can have that relationship with God. His arms are open wide. His heart is open to you. And if that's the case, then I want to encourage you right here, right now. You can make that decision to invite Jesus to come into your heart. You can make that decision. And God, who is watching right now, who is hovering, waiting for you to respond to him right now, he will come straight into your heart. It will happen in a heartbeat. And all he says is you just need to ask him to come in. So if that is you right now, I'd love the opportunity to pray for you. And if you're saying, yeah, I want that relationship with Jesus, then I encourage you just to the right-hand side of the screen, if you're watching on our online platform, there is a little raised hand there. Just hit that raised hand and someone's going to be in contact with you to help you on the next steps of this journey. Just hit that raised hand and say, yeah, I want that. Or if you're watching on Facebook, just type it into the comment section. I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to know God. And one of our pastors and leaders will be in contact with you. They will be talking with you and help to lead you through. But right now, if that's you, I just love the opportunity to be able to pray for you. What if that's you and you're saying, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want a relationship with God. I want the peace and the hope and the future that comes through him. Why don't you just pray with me right now? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And as you say this, God is going to see your heart and he's going to hear your words and he's going to respond and come into your life and you'll never be the same again. You'll never be alone again. So why don't you pray just after me? Come on, church, let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for bringing me to this place that I might know of your great love for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior, my King and my friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Now, God, forgive me of my past and help me to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. From this day on, I am your child, you are my father, and I'll never be alone again. Amen. Amen. That is so exciting. And if that's you and you've prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've decided to come home, you say, yeah, God, I want to do that, then we are so rejoicing with you. We are so excited for you. And hopefully you've hit that little raised hand. We just want to help you on that journey, or you've typed that into the comments of Facebook. Just make sure you do so that we can actually walk with you. We don't want to leave you out there not knowing what to do, but we just want to walk with you. We're just so excited for you. But church, also, this word is for every single person that's watching. And so I just love the opportunity to pray for you in relation to this. Because you know what? We all need to keep moving forward. God wants to take us up and beyond where we are. So why don't you let me pray for you right now? Father, I thank you so much. I thank you, Lord, firstly, that you have brought us to the place, Lord God, where you're making us aware that we need to lift our eyes beyond what's just happening right here, right now. Lord, that you have a hope and a future for us. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand, Lord God, that you'd show us, Lord, what our bulrush things are in our life, what the things are that are screening and stopping our vision for the future, Lord. Help us, Father God, then to bring them to you and to submit them to you, Lord God, to bring them to your throne and allow you to be at work within us, Lord God, to help us to move forward. Lord, I thank you so much for your heart, for your people, Lord God. Your desire for every human being, Lord God, is that of love and that of moving forward, that of wholeness and health and strength and blessing. So, Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord God, as we commit our lives once again to you. Lead us forward, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody who agreed said, amen. Amen. Bless you, church. It's been so good having you with us today. I know that God has spoken to you and really encouraged your hearts. Make the most of this week as we come into it and just allow God to continue to bless you. Lord, we love you and we'll see you next time.